VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
As always, thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, we have seen the push by the Biden administration to social media entities to silence opposition voices. I mean, those voices that hold contrary opinions on things like COVID, the shot, election security, even environmental issues. Now under the auspices of the Department of Homeland Security, it's been announced the establishment of a disinformation governance board that gives the personnel that the Biden administration, rather not the personnel, but the persona that the Biden administration's view of what they call disinformation as a national security issue. This new board has been mocked as the putting into place a ministry of truth, harkening back to the book 1984 by George Orwell. Is there similarity between this disinformation governance board and actions that have been taken by socialist nations that have been down this road in the past? Well, no better person to talk to than our guest today, William J. Federer. Bill is a nationally known speaker. He's an historian, an author, president of Amerisearch, speaker on the American Minute Daily broadcast. He has authored numerous books like America's God and Country, Encyclopedia of Quotations, Who is the King in America, and Socialism, the Real History from Plato to the Present. Bill, good to have you back with us on Crosstalk.
Hey, great to be with you, Jim.
Bill, were you shocked when the announcement came forth from the Biden administration that they've taken the step to actually establish a disinformation governance board? What was your reaction?
Yeah, this is what all tyrants do. For example, when you had the situation in Venezuela and you had Chavez take it over, the first thing he did was go into the TV stations and take control of them so they would not say anything that was critical of his administration, and then took over the newspapers and took over the schools and then took over the pulpits, saying that you can't say anything that is against my dictatorial system. Lenin, Stalin, Mao Zedong, this is what every tyrant does. And now you have a girl born in 1988, and she is in charge of this disinformation board, and she is a left-wing Democrat radical who has retweeted false things about Trump, and she has been a political operative. It's totally biased. Anybody will see that this is not an objective board.
You're talking about Jankowicz?
Yes, Nina Jankowicz, mm-hmm. Born in 1988. She says she's a American researcher and writer and official in the disinformation. But what we see is here you have, for example, IRS, Lois Lerner, the head of it, met with Obama 147 times and turned the IRS into targeting conservative groups. Mm-hmm. You had the NSA being used by the Obama administration to dig up dirt on political opponents of that administration. You see the co-opting of these political agencies. It's called weaponizing or politicizing federal departments. It's a nice way of saying they're instituting a dictatorship. and so there's no one that thinks this disinformation board will be objective.
Yeah, Bill, let me just interject here as well, because you brought up Nina Jankowicz here, but she's one who previously declared the Hunter Biden laptop part of Russian disinformation, when we now know that it's actually that was disinformation that she gave. She's also complained it's not conservative voices that are being silenced on social media, but she said it's the liberal voices that are being censored. I mean, she's got a very questionable background here, and you're asking a right question here. How can someone who has spouted off so much disinformation and misinformation herself rightly judge what is misinformation?
Yes, and so the head of Homeland Security, Mayorkas, was being grilled May 4th, 2022 by Senator Rand Paul at a hearing. And Senator Rand Paul starts off saying, was the Steele dossier disinformation? Hillary Clinton paid for the Steele dossier. And this Mayorkas guy said, I don't know. And then Rand Paul says, I think you've got no idea what disinformation is. And Rand Paul goes on, do you know who the greatest propagator of disinformation in the history of the world is? The U.S. government. And the Mayorkas guy is like dumbfounded for a moment. And Rand Paul says, are you familiar with McNamara, the Pentagon Papers? Are you familiar with George W. Bush and the weapons of mass destruction? Are you familiar with Iran-Contra? Rand Paul goes on, I don't want government guardrails. I want you to have nothing to do with speech. Do you think the American people are so stupid they need you to tell them what truth is? I don't trust the government to figure out what truth is. Government is largely the disseminator of disinformation. Now, just last week, I went through the Navy SEAL Museum in Fort Pierce, Florida. And it started off with it had a video in one of the, a little movie screening rooms. And it started off talking about, these courageous guys, and they went in to Iraq, and they did this operation that had like 3,000 SEALs involved in it. But it talked about how it started with this accusation that there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. And then it just in a one line there, it says, but this was later found out to be not true. Wow. And then it went on to highlight the courage of these guys who were, defending our country and putting their life at risk. But it said right in there, it says, okay, there were accusations of weapon of mass destruction. It was found out later. Those accusations were not true. And I get into it in my book. I did a book called Socialism, The Real History from Plato to the Present. Mm-hmm. But I go through lots of incidences in history where you have actions that are designed to look legitimate, but they're excuses for a political agenda to be enacted. And I think this disinformation board will basically be committing disinformation.
Yes. Bill, I find it so interesting, and you referenced Secretary Mayorkas of DHS, and this board is going to be using the weight of DHS to fight this so-called misinformation, while at the same time, he said they're going to be protecting free speech, privacy, and civil rights. I mean, that's what he's telling us. Your response, are you looking for a bridge for him to sell as well?
Yeah, so it is him immediately engaging in disinformation.
Yes.
And George Orwell called it doublespeak. For those not familiar, in 1948, George Orwell wrote the book 1984. And he talked about a totalitarian government taking control of speech, and he called it doublespeak. So whatever the government says, it's actually the opposite. And there's a character in this book, 1984, named Winston. And his job is to work for the Ministry of Truth, but all that ministry does is lie. So here it's their department of different disinformation. And so picture this character, Winston, sitting at a desk in the government building, and down the pneumatic tube, like a teller at a bank where the car comes in and you put your deposit in, out of this tube would come the history that needed to be edited. And Winston would make the edits, and then he would take the original history, put it in another pneumatic tube that would suck it down into the incinerator in the basement, and he called it down the memory hole. And Winston said, every record has been destroyed or falsified, every book rewritten, every picture has been repainted, every statue and street building has been renamed, every date has been altered, history has stopped. Nothing exists except an endless present in which the party is always right. I know, of course, that the past is falsified, but it would never be possible for me to prove it. Even when I did the falsification myself, after the thing is done, no evidence remains. The only evidence is inside my own mind, and I don't know that any other human being shares my memories. Everything faded into mist. The past was erased. The erasure was forgotten. The lie became truth. And then he caps it off with a quote, those who control the past control the future. Those who control the present control the past.
Yeah.
So just like you have Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, all these different groups censoring certain stories and spreading other stories, if you control the present, you get to control what people know about the past. And people draw their identity of who we are as a people, who we are as a nation, who you are as an individual from where you came from. And if they can re-edit the past with critical race theory and make all the good people into bad people and bad people into good people, right, then you draw your identity, your purpose, your trajectory in life from the past. They can control the future.
And indeed, that's what we're seeing. We've got the rewriting history going on. We've got the changing of the textbooks bill. We've got the pulling down of the statues. I mean, we have a new narrative on Columbus, the Mayflower, the very origins of our nation. I mean, it is all being rewritten and a new narrative being formed.
Yeah, it's called deconstruction. And you had... After the Bolshevik Revolution, you had socialists, and some of them wanted to march into the West with tanks, and there was one guy who said, no, you'll never win that way. And this was a socialist named Antonio Gramsci, and he was actually put in prison by the other socialists where he died. And while he's in prison, Antonio Gramsci writes his prison notebooks, 1937, and he says, you can't conquer the West from the outside with tanks. You got to rot it from within with the long march through the institutions. And so sort of like what people are familiar with, the seven mountains of influence, you know, art and media and politics and education and so forth. He says, basically, you have to infiltrate those and rot them from within. Then you can conquer the West with socialism.
Wow.
And so in his prison notebooks, Antonio Gramsci said, the civilized world has been thoroughly saturated with Christianity for 2,000 years. Any country grounded in Judeo-Christian values cannot be overthrown until those roots are cut. Now, why would it be important to cut those roots? Because Judeo-Christian values has you having a worth as an individual. You have worth because you're made in the image of God. Whether or not you contribute to society, whether or not you're a religion or race or male or female, doesn't matter. You have equal worth because you're made in the image of God. Socialism says your worth is dependent on the group. If the group likes you, your worth goes up. If they shame you and kick you out, your worth goes down. So socialism is a group concept. So Antonio Gramsci goes on and says, socialism is precisely the religion which must overwhelm Christianity. In the new socialism, the new order, socialism will triumph by capturing the culture via infiltration of schools, universities, churches, and the media, transforming the consciousness of society. So it's this concept that politics is downstream from culture. And so you want to infiltrate the culture, rot all these different areas, what he mentioned, schools, universities, churches, media, and then you weaken the country from the inside, they lose their identity, and then you can conquer them.
Bill Fetter is with us here today on Crosstalk. We're coming up against a break, and folks are talking about this Disinformation Governance Board that has been established by the Biden administration under the Department of Homeland Security, and they are promising to fight misinformation while protecting free speech, privacy, and civil rights. But yet we are seeing that even the one that they have designated to head this organization is one who has been filled with disinformation herself, as she has, as we look at her past. And folks, it's very troubling to see the direction that this is going and what really is the goal, what really is the plan. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to go down the path of history with Bill Fetterer and study socialistic dictatorial nations. Isn't this the direction they took? Back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, have you ever seen that bumper sticker of a fish with legs? What's that all about?
Chris, that bumper sticker is a direct insult to Christians and the God of Christianity. It's a perversion of the Christian symbol of the fish, which has been in place ever since the early church days. It's interesting to note that this has almost become a religious symbol with evolution. We've been saying for a long time that evolution is a religion, and now they have their religious symbol. Chris, they have to have symbols because they really just don't have any evidence that evolution has occurred. Evolution is not a science. It's the religion of naturalism, the idea that there is no supernatural God behind it all. At least that's how I see it from a Back to Genesis perspective.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
We'll be right back. the Disinformation Governance Board, our topic today here on Crosstalk. William J. Federer is our guest today. And one of the books he has authored, Socialism, the Real History from Plato to the Present, and subtitled here, How the Deep State Capitalizes on Crises to Consolidate Control. We are continuing to make this available through Crosstalk, our way of saying thank you for your support of $18 or more. And we will send that off to you. You can obtain it online at vcyamerica.org, vcyamerica.org, or by calling our switchboard toll-free at 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829. You can ask for the book entitled Socialism. Again, subtitled How the Deep State Capitalizes on Crises to Consolidate Control. And Bill, we've interviewed you previously on this book on various programs, and there is a lot of meat in this book. But you can read this book, and it's like we're walking down this road right now in the United States of America.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the things I bring out is crises and how they use crises to consolidate control. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of these are they're called false flags. And for those not familiar with that concept, it goes back to pirates, and they would put up a false flag that they were a ship in distress, and a naive ship would come close wanting to help out, only to get so close that they'd see the pirates on deck and they would be too close to flee and they would get caught. And so the idea is the government's creating problems so that they could come along with a solution. And it's one of these interesting studies that I've done. One, for example, was in 1788. The king of Sweden wanted to invade Russia, but his parliament wouldn't approve the funding. And so he has the tailor of the Royal Swedish Opera sew Russian uniforms and has Swedish soldiers put them on and attack a Swedish outpost. And the news spread across the country that the Russians had invaded Sweden. And when it got to Stockholm, the parliament panicked and approved the funding so that the king could have his war with Russia. And so the idea was that you wanted to control the message, control that you wanted to have a panic. You wanted to stage this so that you could get your agenda done. And then 1939, you had the Gliwice incident where the Nazis wanted to invade Poland. And public opinion worldwide would not have approved it. And so they had Nazi soldiers dress up in Polish soldier uniforms and attack a German village. And the news picked it up that the Polish had attacked the Germans, and it spread, and that provided the excuse for the Nazis to go in and conquer Poland. And so, again, you have this narrative being controlled for the purpose of a political agenda.
And you know, Bill,
there's lots of stories like that.
Yeah, I mean, this is gaslighting, is it not? I mean, and I'm going to have you share some more, because you have tracked, you have studied socialist nations, dictatorial nations, and to see the methods that they used that involves controlling information, such as what we're seeking, well, what we're believing is going to happen with this Disinformation Governance Board.
Yeah, the media is playing along with it. So you had, for example, the Western Journal published an article July 21st, 2021, and the headline was FBI plotted to kidnap Whitmer and then blame it on conservatives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so lo and behold, you had a dozen FBI agents get, you know, a half dozen low IQ guys, and they thought they were meeting at the bar, and some of them were given marijuana, and then the FBI plans it, organizes it, sets up the meetings, pays for everything, and these low IQ guys show up, and they catch them in the plot. And if anybody that sees it, it was a staged plot that the media was going to drum up to be able to blame these crazy conservatives and change the narrative from Whitmer being this draconian lockdown governor to, oh, she's a victim.
January 6th as well, Bill? I mean, aspects of January 6th? I mean, it's amazing just to understand. I mean, even people that were there on January 6th circling a man yelling, Fed, 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 Fed.
Yeah, so this is pretty obvious. And you go through the headlines that, you know, Tucker Carlson played the video of these people in breaking into the U.S. Capitol, and they're all dressed in black with tactical gear on and baseball bats, and you look at the crowd, there was no group of people dressed in black, at the Trump rally.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty evident that it was a staged event, and it's the most protected building in the world. 2,300 police officers to guard one building, and they have big metal bulletproof doors with magnets at the top, and there is no way you can open those doors unless you're buzzed in from the inside. And, another article was published, and it says 20 federal assets embedded at the Capitol on January 6th was the court filings.
Mm-hmm.
Another article shows someone among the Democrats gave a stand down order on January 6th. There was even a video of everybody filing in on January 6th,
yep.
And they had a lip reader, and it was looking at the crowd, looking at the politicians, and just reading, being able to read what's on their lips and say, oh, well, you know, I wish it wouldn't have had to come to this, and we got to get rid of this guy. And then it flashes to Pence and Pelosi, and Pelosi says, coup d'etat. And Pence says, are you sure the cameras aren't live? And
wow.
And then you have a New York Times reporter, Joel Rosenberg, and Todd Starnes carried the article. But it says that the New York Times reporter said it was fake trauma, fake news, full of FBI informants, talking about the January 6th event. And in politics, this is called blame shifting, where the accuser accuses the innocent person, and they have to be put on the defensive, and their name gets associated with the crime. David Axelrod was Obama's campaign manager. And on NPR radio, April 19th, 2010, he said, in Chicago, there was an old tradition of throwing a brick through your own campaign office window and then calling a press conference to say you've been attacked.
Mm-hmm.
So you do the crime, but you blame your innocent person, and the media picks it up and runs with it. So let's say there's a candidate that is colluding with Russia, giving away a fifth of the U.S. uranium to Russia in exchange for a $145 million contribution to her foundation. She wants to pay for a Steele dossier to accuse her opponent of colluding with Russia. His name gets smeared with it in the media, and if it ever gets pointed back at her, by that time the water's muddied, the public doesn't know who to trust, and she gets a pass. And then there's another candidate that is, by the way, if she gets caught, all she has to do is pay a $113,000 fine to the FEC, and she's off the hook. Here it was a multi-year impeachment trial, but it was all a false accusation that she paid for. Let's say there's another candidate that's extorting Ukraine. I mean, C-SPAN aired the footage of Biden saying, stop investigating my son or I'm going to hold back billions of U.S. aid. Well, then
right.
You want to accuse your opponent of extorting Ukraine. You accuse them of the exact crime you're guilty of, because then their name gets associated with it in the media. And if it ever gets pointed back at you, by that time, the water's muddied. The public doesn't know who to trust. And you get a pass.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually such a good idea because you can use the investigation process to subpoena all the evidence that can convict you. Right. And so you had the Mueller investigation subpoenaing all the hard drives, laptops, servers, text messages, emails, and destroy, destroy, erase, erase, delete, delete. And another interesting story is talking about aid to Ukraine. When Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, the U.S. government, through her, was funneling aid to Ukraine. And guess what the poorest country in Europe is? It's Ukraine. Guess what country gave the most money to the Clinton Foundation? It was Ukraine.
Wow.
So here she's funneling U.S. aid to Ukraine. The corrupt leader gets to keep a part of it. The rest of it's funneled back to her Clinton Foundation. It's international money laundering. And so whenever you see billions of dollars to Ukraine and billions of dollars for third world countries for climate change, look really close. Usually it goes to a corrupt leader in the country who gets to keep a sliver and live really good, and then funnel the rest of it back to corrupt politicians in America.
Hmm.
And the media covers for it. And that's why they don't want anybody to bust their narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they're not happy with Elon Musk getting Twitter, because they don't want him to bust their narrative.
Right. And earlier, and I don't have the clip available right now, but Nancy Pelosi talked about this, how they can create a false narrative, send it to the media. The media picks up on the story, and then all of a sudden they will use the media to quote from the media regarding that which they provided falsely to begin with.
Yeah, it's interesting. Harry Reid lied about Mitt Romney not paying his taxes. And Mitt Romney got all this negative press. And then after the election, they asked Harry Reid, they said, you know, that was a lie. He goes, yeah, I know it was, but it worked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so if there's no God, if there's no right and wrong, it's just your political agenda. And whatever you can do to push your political agenda, you can justify. The ends justifies the means.
Yeah.
And
the control.
So that's what we're dealing with.
Yeah.
And that's why it's important that we have enough politicians on our side with guts to say, we don't want a governance board. We don't need you to tell us what's true. We're grown ups. We can figure it out ourselves.
And this is not something that went before the Congress. This is something just put into place by the president and made this a part of the Department of Homeland Security. We're made to believe that this is going to keep us safe now by dealing with disinformation. But, Bill, they're going to be targeting the kind of things you say, the kind of things conservative organizations are saying. They have already, you know, countered everything from COVID and the shot. And remember how they said, well, we didn't release certain pieces of information because we didn't want it to be, we thought it might be misinterpreted. The spin that is being put on so many of these issues is misinformation in itself, but they're going to use the misinformation to keep true information from going forth.
You know, I was on the board of a university with Ben Carson, and I wrote a book called America's God and Country Encyclopedia Quotations.
Mm-hmm.
It's done really well. Even the Supreme Court quoted out of it in a case in 2014, the city of Greece, you know, versus New York. And so you had Ben Carson. I encouraged him to write a book. And so he wrote a book talking about America's, you know, the beautiful and our godly heritage. And he was so nice. He like credited me and cited me like, you know, half dozen times in the book, you know, special thanks to William J. Federer and so forth. Well, BuzzFeed got their researchers to say that Ben Carson plagiarized my book. And they were wanting to say, here, this brilliant, honest, tremendous candidate had plagiarized.
Oh, my.
And they published it and they spread it. And since they mentioned my name in my book, I wrote a response. And I got the National Review to publish it. And I said, his title was, it was Ben Carson did not plagiarize my book. That I helped him and have emails with him and Candy, his wife. And I like was telling him, oh, here's a good quote. Here's a good quote. And he thanked me for it. And he cited my book 16 times in his book. He put it in his footnotes.
Yeah.
It was all a very well researched and presented book. And I encourage everybody to go out and get it. But here they were wanting to spin this and try to put him in a bad light for writing a great book using some of the God and Country quotes that were in my book.
Well, folks, it's the Biden Disinformation Governance Board that's being raised up under Department of Homeland Security. I'm just wanting a few more minutes with Bill Federer, our guest today, and we'll be opening up some phone lines shortly as well. But his book, Socialism, The Real History from Plato to the Present, available, our way of saying thank you for your support of $18 or more, vcyamerica.org. Back in a minute.
Looking back at Dwight L. Moody's life, it is tempting to focus solely on what God accomplished through a common man from Northfield, Massachusetts. Preaching to millions, starting multiple schools, spearheading the Christian publishing movement, and inspiring men and women to Christian service is difficult to ignore. Yet surely, why God used D.L. Moody is as important as how God used him. In the book, Useful to God, author James Spencer presents 8 lessons from the life of D.L. Moody with practical applications for the reader. You'll see how he was surrendered, prayerful, studious, and more as he was consumed with a passion for lost souls. This book will challenge you to cultivate these characteristics in your own life. Useful to God is available for a donation of $17 or more to VCY America. Call 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. William J. Fitter, our guest today, and he is author of that book, Socialism, subtitled How the Deep State Capitalizes on Crises to Consolidate Control. Are we witnessing that right now before our very eyes? Well, folks, I'll let you decide that. Certainly, we're seeing the establishment of this Disinformation Governance Board under the guise of the Department of Homeland Security. Oh, it's all about, integrity. It's all about fighting misinformation. We're going to fight for free speech and privacy and civil rights. But, Bill, I'm going to couple that also with news that came out recently about police across America now being able to track citizens through their cell phones without a warrant. And then we have John Whitehead, president of the Rutherford Institute, commenting on this, what it means to live in a suspect society. And he said this, added to that, police are tracking people's movements by way of license plate toll readers, scouring social media posts, triangulating data from cell phones, towers, and Wi-Fi signals, layering facial recognition software on top of that, and then cross-referencing footage with public social media posts in all of an effort to identify, track, and eventually round us up. He said this is what is meant, what it means to live in a suspect society. Your comment.
Yeah, with AI, artificial intelligence, they're able to comb through unbelievable amounts of data. And then out of that, they come up with a score on you. China is already doing this. It's called the social credit score. They know everything you buy with your credit card on Amazon.com. Everything you use to access the internet, your laptop, your phone, it has an identification number. And they know every single website that you go to. They know how many seconds you are viewing each page on that website. They know where you've gone with your GPS. They can track you, and they consolidate all this data. And they create a score on you. And they want to go to a CBDC. They want to, eventually if Russia stops selling oil in U.S. dollars and if Saudi Arabia stops selling dollars in oil in U.S. dollars, there'll be trillions of U.S. dollars nobody wants. And the dollar will lose its position as the world reserve currency. Everything will inflate. Then the government will come along and say, we got this CBDC, central bank digital currency. We can keep everything going, but it's like a federally trackable Bitcoin type of thing. And they can program the currency so it'll be good to spend some places, and it's impossible to spend it in other places, but it'll also be tied together with your ESG score, which is an environmentally friendly, socially woke, and this governance thing. And so they'll keep a track. And if your cell phone is around other cell phones who have low ESG scores, your ESG score goes down. And if it gets too low, your money won't work. It'll be like Canada, where the little lady gives $50 to a freedom convoy. They turn off her bank account. And they're wanting to get it to where the AI, they get all this data so they can identify you. And so we need pushback because the politicians, they – want to get reelected. Unfortunately, you have a whole other aspect of the index funds. And if I have a second, you have BlackRock, State Street, Vanguard. They're asset management companies started 10 years ago where they would invest in everything on Wall Street. And they would be very safe investment, and it would take advantage of the gradual rising of everything on Wall Street. And so your investment would gradually go up. But you're not going to go across the country to go to an Exxon stockholder meeting, even if you have own a couple of shares. So you check the proxy box. So all these peoples and all their retirements are invested in these funds. They check the proxy box, and the asset management company shows up at the Exxon, at all these companies, and they basically tell them what's going to happen. To fire this person, hire this person, be more woke, be more LGBT, teach diversity, be pro-China. And so we've always thought of corporations on one side and government on the other. No, they've been co-opted, and they're both pushing the same agenda. And we think of Pepsi and Coke as competitors. Look who owns them, BlackRock, State Street, Vanguard. We thought of General Mills and Nestle as competitors. Look who owns them, BlackRock, State Street, Vanguard. Mm-hmm. And never before has trillions of dollars been in the hands of so few people. And so politicians want to run for office. They go to corporations, say, hey, give a donation, and companies will say, no, we're only going to give donations to woke candidates. And so the policy, okay, I'll get woke to get the donation. So they trade their vote for money. And So we're seeing that it's moving in a direction where these major media companies are now owned. In my book, Socialism, The Real History from Plato to the Present, I have a chapter on how marketing of products was used to market agendas. And in the 1800s, you had Wells Fargo Wagon, Sears catalog, and they would mention everything about a sewing machine, and you'd be an educated buyer. But then in the early 1900s, you had magazine ads, and they would picture something that makes it look like everybody's using it, and they would say nothing about the product. And the classic was Crisco, and nobody knew what was in it. And it was cottonseed oil. Mm-hmm. So in the South, they'd harvest cotton, mountains of these seeds. They'd mush it into black monkey oil that they would use in factories and machinery. Nobody ate that stuff. And somebody had the idea of bleaching it, put it in cans with this nice slick magazine ads, and people bought it. And we've all eaten it. And so you go from knowing everything about a sewing machine to nothing about a product. And this was studied. It's called Keeping Up with the Joneses. They had a cartoon in the New York paper that people buy stuff because they see everybody else using it. And this was really pioneered by a guy named Edward Bernays and nephew of Sigmund Freud. He wrote a book called Propaganda in 1928. And he focused on women's shoes. And he said, women go into a department store and think they're picking out shoes when they're not. The shoes were picked out for them by the marketing executive who went to the actress and paid her to put them on, paid the photographer to take the pictures, paid to put it in his magazine, spread it all around. Ladies read the magazine, go out, want to buy the shoes.
Yeah.
And he says, this way the minority has discovered a powerful help in influencing the majority to mold the minds of the masses. Mm-hmm. And so he wrote a book called The Engineering of Consent. We're a country governed by the consent of the governed, but what if you can engineer the consent? And he says, manipulation of the opinions of the masses is an important element in democratic society. Those who manipulate this unseen mechanism constitute the invisible government, which is the true ruling power of the country. So again, we're talking media, and now the government's getting involved with its disinformation governance board. They want to control what people know and think. And another guy named Noam Chomsky wrote a book called The Manufacturing of Consent. And so at Spanish-American War, you had William Randolph Hearst.
Let me open the phone lines here and get out our number, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829 here today on Crosstalk. This Disinformation Governance Board, it's nothing new, folks. We've seen this play out in history past. We've seen this play out by dictatorship nations. We see what's going on with the control of information in places like Communist China Bill. We see it take place through, did we not see it take place in Hitler's regime as well?
Right. You had Joseph Goebbels. And he was the minister of propaganda mm-hmm. for the Nazis. If you can imagine somebody with a business card with that on it. and he realized that people will do what they see other people doing. And so he would orchestrate these 100,000 person attended Colosseum events. And in the front, they would begin to give the Hitler salute. And it would, like a wave at a football game, it would work its way back, and everybody else would see everybody else giving the Hitler salute, and then they would feel pressured, and you'd see them, and you'd feel pressured, and they'd see you giving it. And it was this manipulating of consensus. Mm-hmm. Everybody thinks that. And so Goebbels says it is the absolute right of the state to supervise the formation of public opinion.
Wow.
Think of the press as a great keyboard on which the government can play. And then some other quotes. Lord Acton was a British statesman. He said, official truth is not actual truth. So in other words, whatever the government tells you, that's not necessarily the truth. Yeah. That's what they want to be the truth. That's what they want you to believe. And another element is Clausewitz was a 19th century military strategist who gave the classic definition of the purpose of war, to force your opponent to submit to your will. So you're killing their body because their mind is loyal to the other side. What if you could mess with their mind, get them to be disloyal, get them to be confused and demoralized or in fear? They could surrender without you having to kill their body. And so this is what Sun Tzu wrote in Art of War, 5th century B.C. Supreme excellence in a commander is getting your enemy to surrender without a fight. Now it's called fifth-generation warfare, where you get your enemy to surrender without them even being aware they're in a war.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. Bill, we got a break here. We've got the lines that are packed. We're going to begin in Gregory, South Dakota. Wayne, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. For people who really want to get a in-depth, there's a lot of books, but The Naked Communist by W. Cleon Skuzin, written, I forget, 60-something, I forget. But anyways, let me just read one quick thing here. The Supreme Court has thwarted attempts to outlaw the Communist Party. In cases such as Yates versus the United States in 1957, the court determined that advocating subversive action against the United States was lawful under the First Amendment until it became an advocacy of immediate action to forcibly overthrow the U.S. government. So in other words, people are free to organize and lecture and plot to overthrow the U.S. government so long as they don't actually try to do it.
Interesting. Bill, any comment? You're perhaps familiar with that book there as well.
Yeah, I actually quote from that book in my book, Socialism, the Real History from Plato to the Present. And Cleon Skousen's son is a friend of mine, Mark Skousen. And he has the Freedom Fest, which is a conservative group meeting in, once a year, usually in Las Vegas or Colorado or something. Mm-hmm. But no, it's an excellent, excellent book. And he has in there the 45 goals and tactics for the communists to take over America. And again, I cite those in my book, but it's infiltrate the schools, infiltrate the churches.
Yeah.
Right. Get them to get rid of preaching the gospel and have them teach social justice. Infiltrate the schools and libraries and museums and at schools and student government, teachers associations. And they've done all. They've infiltrated all that.
All part of the communist agenda that was read into the congressional record. We've got Greg in Tucson, Arizona. Greg, you're on the air.
Thank you. You know, your program is amazing. And your guest, Bill Federer, is the gold standard. And I'm so appreciative. Okay, so I'm in Arizona, but I lived in Massachusetts when same-sex marriage became supposed law. Suppression of truth even extends into the political parties. The Republican Party suppressed the truth that Mitt Romney illegally enacted same-sex marriage to the point where they would vilify and even punish truth tellers. And I could go into a lot of detail about this for a long time and supply all the documentation that anyone needs. The Republican Party is as bad as any other entity.
Yeah, thank you, Greg. Your comment, Bill.
Yeah, well, Albert Herlong in The Naked Communist, who read the 45 goals and tactics for the communists to take over America in 1963, goal number 15 was capture one or both of the political parties. And now we know they took the Democrat Party. Why? I track in my book how, FDR made a treaty with Stalin during World War II, and so the Communist Party said, why should we run our own candidates and suspect Democrats? But they've also been infiltrating both parties.
Yeah,
but I hear the music there.
Yeah, thank you, Bill. And indeed, the infiltration's going on. And even some in leadership that will sanction those who don't hold up to their ideals. Back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. I have spent several years researching the topic of brainwashing, literally 30 years. And I have studied, among other things, the brainwashing of the American POWs during the Korean War. What I have found by studying the research provided by our own government and the doctors that interviewed the men that came home, the communists used a three-pronged approach. Formal education, a formal communist education, self-criticism and criticism of America, and three, censorship of reality and truth. All three of these are happening in America today. Our kids are getting a formal communist education in rows, sitting in classrooms, lined up. They're taught to criticize the free market system, their own Christian values, to consider themselves racist and haters and having white privilege. And then the censorship of reality or truth. What is real truth? The communists are doing in America what they did to our POWs in the Korean War.
Well, friends, a very current example on this matter here, even of the Disinformation Governance Board. I remember those drug kits, safe drug kits that were going to be provided, and it was warned, no, these are going to have crack pipes in them. And right away, the Trump administration, or, I'm sorry, Jen Psaki under the Biden administration said, no crack pipe in there. And we have the HHS Secretary Javier Becerra releasing a statement, no federal funding will be used directly or through a subsequent reimbursement of grantees to put pipes in safe smoking kits. Well, folks, an article on townhall.com, guess what? Indeed. These cocaine smoking pipes are part of this kit. Truly amazing. But where is the disinformation coming? It's often coming from behind the podium at the White House. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Tammy calling from Minnesota. Tammy, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim and Bill. Thanks for taking my call. It's great listening to you guys today. I did some research in the past about, and I paralleled communism with Islam, and they seem to be so similar. And because they're infiltrating our churches and our schools also, and trying to shut down speech with the Islamophobia thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would just, not only that, but the Muslim Brotherhood explanatory memorandum bill and how they say that they want to destroy America from within. And it's just like you guys were talking about with communism, you destroy them from within in the institutions.
Yep.
And I see that with Islam. And I'd like you to address this, Bill, as both of these are doing this and maybe using each other, what's going to happen? What's the end game with these two?
Thank you, Tammy.
Yeah, well, that's great insight. And it is true that the communism has a word for world peace. It's Mir, M-I-R, like the Mir space station. And that word means world peace. It also means world communism. And Islam, their word peace means world Islam as well. So they think that once they conquer the world, then it'll be peaceful because all our enemies will be destroyed. And but they both use tactics that it's okay to lie. In Islam, it's called taqiyya, sacred lying. It's okay to lie to your enemy and if it helps you to achieve your agenda. And of course, communism as well. And they both view Judeo-Christian values as their enemy. And so, it's serious. And then you add on that globalists. And globalists are more than happy to have a crisis so that when people are in a crisis, they panic and fear, and they want some government to come in and restore order, and that's when they can usurp your freedoms. And so they need a bad guy to do the violence that causes people to panic and fear that gives an excuse for the government to come in and usurp power.
Appreciate the call.
But that's one of the topics in my book, Socialism, The Real History from Plato to the Present. The subtitle, How the Deep State Capitalizes on Crises to Consolidate Control.
Yeah, friends, it's a great read. And again, available at vcyamerica.org or by calling 800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829. Jim in Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hi, gentlemen. I really appreciate both your ministries. It's really a real blessing. But something, Jim, you're aware of. Now, I've mentioned it on your program before, and I did call your office last year, Bill, regarding this. And so many times we're talking about all the bad things are happening. And my idea is, what is the solution? So this is something I have been in my heart for like the last 2 years, and that is educating American people of our Christian heritage. And I wanted to take the month of June, which has been co-opted by another group, and make it American Christian Heritage Month. And to get the information out to the people, have a calendar, one every day, that tells you, shows you the monuments, everything towards our Christian heritage, and then a saying from one of our leaders, and get that information out to people and re-educate them our Christian heritage. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to, to have this privilege to tell you directly, Bill, that this idea is been on my heart for like 2 years, and what you think of it.
Thank you, Jim.
Yeah, that's a great idea. And I do send out a daily email called American Minute, which is something out of our godly Christian heritage for every day of the year. But I really like your idea. Our founding fathers were human. They had faults, but they gave us a present. And that present is you get to be in charge of your life, and all of us together are in charge of the country. So the word citizen means co-king. And so in America, we're the king, and the politicians are our servants. You hire them and you fire them. But they're wanting to usurp power and revert back to a dictatorship. Yeah. And there's two methods to do that, fear and free stuff.
Yeah.
You get people into fear, they panic and give away their freedoms. And free stuff is you get them dependent. And that's what the Great Reset is. They want to bankrupt the global economy so that everybody has to go to the government and say, help, help, help. And the government says, here's help. Here's a central bank digital currency, and we can keep the ball rolling, and you can do financial stuff. But we're going to now track everybody, and we can turn you on and off whenever we want. You're bringing out some really good points. We've got to get back to our Christian foundation.
A lot of these issues, too, Bill was just talking about in his book, Who is the King in America? And you'll find that's available through Crosstalk here as well. You can contact our switchboard. Let's squeeze in one last call here. Randy from Tomo, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yeah, hello, Jim and Bill. I just want to make a couple of comments. One thing, too, I know Bill mentioned Elon Musk. And Elon Musk was one of, I think, over 4,000 alumni of Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum, who was mentored by Henry Kissinger, I do believe. And another thing is, the other comment I wanted to make was that, since World War II, we've gone to war under the UN Security Council. In an Article 1, Section 8, it says that Congress is to declare the war, to declare a war. Mm-hmm. And in Article 1, Section 10, it says no state is to engage in a war unless they're attacked or in imminent danger of being attacked. And since we...
I tell you what, Randy, we're down to 30 seconds. I want Bill to have a little bit of a chance to respond here. Thank you for the call. Bill.
Yeah, well, thank you. And, you know, in closing, God always seems to wait until things look hopeless, and then he raises up little nobodies with faith and courage to turn things around. And whether it's a Moses, a Gideon, a David, this is just our turn. And so, yeah, things can look fearful, but we have to realize that God is not taken by surprise by any of this, and he wants us to respond. And if we step forward in faith, I think we'll see him move.
Amen.
So anyway, just wanted to end on a positive note there.
Amen. God bless you. Bill Federer, our guest here today. Again, his book, Socialism, available at vcyamerica.org or by calling 800-729-9829. Bill, you're a man on the go, speaking in many places around the country, and we thank you for carving out the time to join us here on Crosstalk today.
Thank you, Jim.
Mm-hmm. And Bill Federer with us, and number of resources, even the America's God and Country Encyclopedia of Quotations, we have that here as well. Check out here at vcyamerica.org. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.